If you would, I invite you to open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. So a word of prayer before we read. Heavenly Father, again, we do give you praise and glory for everything you've done for us, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, most of all for salvation, but Lord, the daily things that you give to us, just the blessings. Dear Lord, as Brother Danny mentioned, the peace that we can have. Dear Lord, that peace comes sometimes just because we can rest in God. Rest to know that you're in control. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that are out of control in the world. And Lord, as we mentioned, our hearts are saddened towards people to where their lives are just a wreck. Dear Lord, they don't know which way to turn. But as Brother Bird also mentioned, dear Lord, if they would just be quiet and be still and understand God, Lord, you can deliver them out of a pit of sin, out of a miry pit, dear Heavenly Father, and set their feet on a solid ground and give them a direction, give them a hope, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, that's the God that we serve, a powerful God. And we're thankful, dear Lord, tonight that we're serving you. We're thankful for the word. We ask you to be with each and every one of us as we look into the word again this evening. Lord, you just anoint me, anoint the word. The Lord, anoint the ears of each one. Lord, that we'll leave here blessing a soul, and we'll certainly thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In Galatians chapter 5, if you're familiar with the Bible, probably almost know where I'm going to go sometimes, what's pretty much famous in Galatians. We're just going to read chapter 22 and 23. Paul is giving them the fruits. He gave them from 19 to 21, the works of the flesh. And then he gives them the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I've never considered the thought that I'm going to bring to you this evening, and bear with me a little bit as I get into the message here, but there are 9 words that are used in this verse, these 2 verses that Paul brings to us. And Paul makes a remark here that these words reflect the fruit of the Spirit. They reflect someone that's saved. They reflect something that we should be able to visibly see out of an individual that claims to be saved and has repented from sin. And tonight, I want to look at the first 3 words for a little bit. And I want to put them in a particular category. And then we're going to look at the second category, the next 6 words. And I'm going to split them up a little bit here. And I say, bear with me some. And I want to look at these first 3 words here. But before we do that, I want to put these in a particular category, these first 3 words. And I'm going to use a phrase that no doubt many of us, if not all of us, have probably heard. You've heard the phrase of low-hanging fruit. And Paul says here, the fruit. And the phrase of low-hanging fruit, we know what that means. And the definition, the term of low-hanging fruit means relatively easy task. And they use that in the world. And in general, it's a phrase that the world uses. Low-hanging fruit. Do those tasks that are very easy. Very easy to come by, doesn't take a lot of effort, and low-hanging fruit, that type of thing. It's easy to do that. It's easy to do certain things here. And it says a relatively easy task, other than more stressful tasks, that must also be done, but it's more stressful. And we know that when we think about low-hanging fruit, and we, in the general sense of actual fruit, when we walk up to a tree, many of us have probably been to many different trees and apple trees or pear trees,
or I always mention blackberries. I enjoy blackberries or mulberries or even grapevines, those things. If you've ever walked up to them, the most of us have probably have walked up to them, and sometimes they're just fat with fruit. And you don't even have to work on it. I mean, you can just sit there and pick a grape or pick a blackberry or just pick an apple. You don't even have to any effort. You just pick an apple. My wife's father-in-law, he used to work for a man, and he had an apple orchard, and in October, he had a big party, and he invited many people, and we've gone several times, and he let all the people go out there, and there was bags, and they had the stick out there, and they pick as many apples as you like, and you can eat them or take them home or whatever, and then at the end of the thing, he had a company come in and collect all the apples, get all the rest of the apples off the tree, and they made apple butter, apple juice, all kind of stuff. But anyway, sometimes you get there, you got to get the sticks and you got to get the apples that are way up there. Because all the low ones, everybody easy, pick them off. But sometimes you go by, here's one, and you pull it off and it's nice and you turn it around, no worms in it, and it's shiny and you bite into it and it's juicy and everything. Low-hanging fruit. We enjoy that. That's easy. And as he says there, a relatively easy task. When we think about low-hanging fruit, everything that's easy that we can get that has no effort to it. It's not difficult. Somebody might have a bad shoulder like myself. Thank the Lord is doing well. You know, if I got something higher than my head, this shoulder at one time wouldn't allow me to do that or do this or whatever. I wouldn't be able to do it. The low-hanging, it's easy, enjoyable. You know, Jesus, as he walked with the disciples one time, the Bible says that he got hungry. And he went to a fig tree, desiring to have some figs off of the tree, and it had no fruit on the tree. And you know the story is he walked past the thing and he went on about his business. And the next day, the disciples, they came by. The fig tree was dead from the roots. It died. And they were marveled. And you also remember the man that had the vineyard. And the Lord of the vineyard came in, and he had a fig tree there, and he says, I've been here these couple years, and I haven't seen any figs. I haven't seen any fruit on this tree. I want to come in and look at the trees and just pick off a piece of fig and eat it and enjoy it. I don't want to have to work with it. He goes, cut the thing down. And you know, the husband of the worker of the vineyard, he says, let me work on it. Let me get it and all and work on it, and if we can get some fruit, fine. If not, then you cut it down. But easy. Fruit that's easy to take of, we don't want to reach. And that's in everything in life a lot of times. We don't want to have to work. I preached a message one time some years ago. I had a dog. I used to walk him down behind the school and in the woods and things. I enjoyed that. And anytime I ever walked him, when we lived in Hawthorne, there wasn't any blackberry trees, but there was mulberry trees everywhere. And I always would go and let him run around. And I'd always eat the mulberries, especially when they were first. And they were right there hanging and things, and you can get them. And one time I was out walking, and walking through the woods a little bit, and I seen a blackberry bush in there, a wild one. And I started to look, and I'm like, I know there's got to be. I seen one way kind of in the back. And I remember stepping into the woods, and I reached way back there and got that one, about the only one there. Ate it, went on home. The next day I get to work, and I'm at work, and I'm sitting in a chair, and I'm rubbing. I'm like, why is my leg rubbing so much? And I had my work pants on when I was walking through the woods there, and I pulled that pants leg up, and all on that shin was poison ivy. And I thought, where did I get that from? And it dawned on me that there must have, and I went back another day, and I looked, and I didn't look for it then. But there was poison ivy there, and the leaves must have got on my pants. And of course, I wore them for hours after that, and it went through, and it got me. But we get affected by things we have to get a little effort into it. But Paul makes a comment here, and he says the evidence of salvation. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of salvation, and I want to look at these first three words first. Three words that Paul uses here that I believe, and many times in my preaching I use these three words, three words that I believe are low-hanging fruit, easy to come by when we're saved. And he uses the first one, is love. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit, and the very first fruit something that should be easy, and what I mentioned to you earlier, relatively easy task, is love. Love. The Bible emphasizes and tells us God is love. And one of God's greatest attributes is love. Brother Burt mentioned, he came after me, he came after you. The Bible says that he loved us before we ever loved him. He loved us when we were in sin. He cared for us when we were, as I even mentioned about, sometimes in the miry pit, in the deep things of sin. And I thank God, God brought that thought to me some weeks ago, a month or so ago, that God brought the thought, God is still in the business of saving souls that are what we think sometimes in our mind are almost hopeless. They're in a pit that full of drugs or all kinds of things and all that, and we think they're almost hopeless. But God loves them so much because God is love. When they ask Jesus, one of the greatest commandments is, he says the greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto this, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love. He emphasizes love. He emphasizes the care of one another. We look back over, and we're not going to go over here, but look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The entire chapter deals with what we call the love chapter. To have love one towards another. And he gets all the way down to the very last verse in that chapter. He goes, above all things, faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these three is love. Yeah. And sometimes I ponder that sometimes. You know, I mention hope a lot of times. I thank God for hope that we have in our soul. I thank God we can have faith in God. We can have faith in someone we've never seen. We can have faith that there's a heaven. But God says we need to have love. To have love as God has that. That should be one of the easiest low-hanging fruits. As saints, people should be able to come up and see that low-hanging fruit of love. Easy. They shouldn't have to have that pole. And there's one way up there. Oh, that's love. That's not what God desires, those low-hanging, easy things as saints. Evident. Clearly visible. The second word that Paul uses here is joy. I believe that should be a low-hanging fruit in a saint's life. I believe we should have joy. I know we all have battles. I know we all have times of difficulties and things that our family goes through that burdens us. But we should have joy in our heart in day-to-day times. And someone mentioned sometimes a smile. Do we have a smile on our face? Do when people, someone walked up to us and they, you know, there are some people, you can walk up to them and you can look at them, especially a lot of times we make this comment in the morning, and you know you just need to leave them alone. And I won't speak to them for a while. And that old thing, I know it's sort of a joke a little bit, and sometimes people joke. People say, don't even talk to me before I've had my coffee. That shouldn't be saints of God. I know we say that as a joke sometimes, but that shouldn't be saints of God. There should be joy in our lives. God woke me up. God gave me strength. And as I mentioned a little bit ago about that song, I know Sister Ann has mentioned her many times about Fanny Crosby and all the difficulties she went through. But joy in people's lives, and some of the people that wrote some songs, beautiful songs, they had all kinds of handicaps in their lives. Do you have joy? Do you have real joy? Or do you allow things to affect your joy? Can people see joy in your life? Can your family see joy? Can your neighbors, can the people you work with, are they those low-hanging fruits? Not something they got to look for, not a berry way back in the back and you kind of dig and look for, and you might get poked in the arm by the briars or whatever, or get poison ivy. Something that's easy. You walk up, Mr. Jim that used to live behind us many years ago, and him and my grandfather, they had all kind of fruit trees and berry trees. And I remember one year I was back there in the yard, and he had a blackberry bush. I guess that blackberry bush was the size from that wall to the altar. These cherries, it was this big and this high. loaded. I mean loaded with blackberries. And man, we just pick them and pick them and pick them and pick them until we had enough to, we made a cake out of them one time, blackberry and cake and all. And we just pick and pick and pick. I didn't have to look. I didn't have to open up the bushes and reach down there and there's a big old fat one. I just kept picking them. I mean, I couldn't pick them fast enough. Joy. Do we have joy in our lives with that?
Yes, thank God.
Paul and Silas were preaching the word of God. They cast out a demon out of a lady. And the people got mad with him. They beat him. And they threw him in jail. They started to sing. Started to sing from the joy within their hearts. They started to praise God. Through that, those jailers got saved. Not only him and his family, they got saved. Because of that Paul and Silas didn't allow the things that are in the world affect their joy in Jesus Christ. How many times we're sitting here in nice, comfortable pews, a heated building, or an air-conditioned building, and we're like, I don't know why I'm here. Joy, we should have joy. Saints of God should have joy. And I say that, but also there may be some things that we shouldn't have joy for the things that affect us. I'm happy because I got padded pews and heated buildings. I don't know who it was, Sister Jones or somebody talked about preaching in Africa or something. And they'd come, they'd walk for miles and sit on a stone. Maybe one person had two stones. Somebody come over, didn't have a stone, they pull out a stone and let them sit on a stone. How many of us allow the things of the world to affect us? Stephen started to preach to them one time and they got angry with him. Drug him outside the city and they stoned him. And what an encouragement. Stephen says, I look into the heavens and I see Jesus Christ standing at the Father's right hand side. Don't think he had joy? I don't believe one stone hit Stephen. And he fell, the Bible says he fell asleep. God took him home. Joy. What do we allow to affect our joy? They should be things. And let me tell you what. God is going to work with us. God is going to put us, allow us to be put in situations to show love, to show joy to the world, to our neighbors, to our friends. As Brother Danny mentioned with Bonnie there, how can you be so peaceful or calm about certain things? Well, sometimes we as saints of God, we know we can't change. Nothing we can do can change the matter. And also worrying and fretting is not going to do a thing except for harm me. Affect my soul, affect my physical being sometimes. The third word Paul uses here is peace. Again, I believe it should be a low-hanging fruit from our lives, from the saints of God. In the songbook that we have, page 356, the song title says, Wonderful Peace. And verse 1 says, Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than songs. In celestial-like strain it unceasingly falls, O my soul, as an infinite calm. Peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit and forever I pray in fathomless billows. Peace. I wanted to read verse 2. I didn't mean to read that one. But verse 2 says, What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. That's a treasure. That's a treasure to have peace, to have contentment, to have a calmness in the storms of life. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mind it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace. It says in fathomless billows of love. That word fathomless means extremely deep. Sweep over my spirit, forever I pray,
and extremely deep billows of love. I believe these are three words that I want to emphasize this evening. That should be low-hanging fruit from each and every one of the saints. Anybody that claims to be a child of God. I think these should be easily visible to the world. Something that they can look at us and they see love, peace, joy. They see that. Easily see it. Not have to struggle. Not have to wonder. Not have to look up high in a spiritual way thinking that I got to look. Is that peace way up there? Is that love? Is that joy? No, it's right here. It's right there in front of us that we should have these things. People witness these fruits in our lives, and they should witness them very easily, very effortlessly. We should be able to have these in our lives. Let's go to Psalms chapter 92. In Psalms chapter 92, and verse 13. Those who be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Are you planted in the house of God? Are you planted in the things of God? He goes, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Flourish. The word flourish means to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way. Are you growing? Like say you walk up to an apple tree, pear tree, whatever type of tree, they're familiar with me a little bit more. You walk up to an apple tree and there's nothing on it. I mean, you can't even find an apple. And I've even been to some apple trees. I don't even find them on the ground. It reminds me of the Lord of the Vineyards. He says, just cut it down. It just cumbers the ground. It's no value to you. I mean, there should be some fruit there at the time of fruit season. I'm not talking about during when it isn't fruit season, but in the time of fruit season, it should flourish with fruit there. He says, grows and develops, and as a human, as a person living for the Lord in a spiritual way, we should grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way. Especially, and listen to the second part of this definition, especially as the result of a particular favorable environment. Brother David has blessed us a lot of times with some beautiful flowers, put a fig tree out back, brought us some figs from time to time. He has planted and grown things. And what it says there, a particularly favorable environment, and has produced some beautiful things from it. David says here in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, in the house of God, in the church of the living God, those that be planted in the church of the living God, in the house of God, shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. I don't know if you're going to get any favorable environment than being in the house of God.
Amen.
The house of the Lord. You know, there are people in my life and things, and they may invite you, or why don't you come on over? We're gonna do this. And let's just say they didn't play football on Sunday. It was a Saturday. Even if it was a Saturday. I'm not a real big sports fan anyway, and I'm even less of one that likes to watch it any. But let's say it was a Saturday. Hey, come on, we're gonna have a big get together. I'd rather not. Why? Because I know what's going to take place at that get-together. There's going to be probably some drinking or whatever, or they're not going to be godly influences and things like that. So I'm not going to go and put myself, subject to myself on a consecutive basis there in something that's not going to bless my soul. Particularly flourishing environment. We don't need to be, and I'm not saying that that's all the time. Or on a rare occasion or something, we might get into that situation. But all the time, people, all the time, this is what you need to be involved in. This is what you should be going after. This is what you should be doing. No, that's not a flourishing environment for a child of God. To have love, joy, peace, but the house of God is.
The place of God is, this should be a place where we can flourish. We can have love towards one another. We can have peace. We can have contentment. We can have confidence and help with one another.
Are you flourishing? You got a lot of those low-hanging fruits, love, joy, peace, all around.
My family, my workers, the community, the different ones, can they see that? Can they witness that? Is it visible?
David said in Psalms 122 and 1, I always like this verse of scripture. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yes. It's church time. Thank the Lord. It amazes me. It amazes me. And I mentioned many times, and ministers mentioned it all the time too. It amazes me. People that don't have a desire to be in the house of God. And I know, I understand, and I understand sometimes our physical condition may not be well. But let me tell you what. Does it get to be accustomed to where every single Sunday night for a year, every single Wednesday night for a year, you're not there? Every once in a while you think, I know I don't feel good, but I'm going to try to press my way because I desire to be in the house of God.
Right.
David said, I was glad when they said, it's time to go to church. It's time to be in the house of God. Why? Because I want to be planted in the house of God. I want to flourish in the things of God, in the courts of God.
I thank God it's a place where we can meet one another without fear. We can come and hear the word of God without fear.
I've been down the road some, a little bit too in the past years and past. Sometimes I've heard some ministers, I'm like, you know what? I'm very uncomfortable how they're preaching. Not because they were preaching necessarily the word of God, because they got outside the word of God. And they started picking. The Bible teaches us we're not to be doing that. The Bible teaches we're not to preach to a particular individual or at souls. I can't remember the verse or the thought I'm praying of.
Striker.
Yeah. Not to be a striker. The Bible teaches ministers aren't to be a striker to somebody, but to preach the word. Now, we may sit in the house of God, and we may be uncomfortable because of the message, because of the Spirit of God is dealing with us. That has nothing to do with the minister, but that's just a blessing of God. David said, I was glad because, Lord, I want you to, and he said later on in the Bible, he says, Lord, I want you to try me. I want you to work with me. I want you to find out if there's any wicked way working in me. And he does that through the word of God. I want you to witness to me, Lord, that I need to have more love. I need to have more joy. I need to have more peace in my life. Lord, I need these things. And that happens through the grace of God and through the being in the house of God. Let's go over to James chapter 3. James 3 and verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I believe these are some low-hanging fruits also. The wisdom from above is easy. The Spirit of God is easy. The Spirit of God is powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword, but it's easy. It's gentle. It's kind. It works. It doesn't push. It doesn't force. It doesn't do those things. And God desires us to be that same way, to be easy with people, to be gentle with people. To have peace in our heart. Peaceable, he says. Full of mercy, good fruits. These should be low-hanging fruit. These should be things that should be visible as saints of God. Can people witness them in our lives? Can people walk up and see flourishing fruit of those things that are very visible in our lives? There's a song in our songbook that says, we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. While love entwines about each heart, in which God's will is done. Help us, Lord, to have kindness towards one another. Have kindness to the world out there. God, I've asked God to help me. You know, I've asked God to help me sometimes to have the kindness sometimes of people. We may look at certain people and we may know their lives are a mess. This past week, we have a young man working there. And I don't think I told you about this story. I might have told you about it a little bit. But he said he was watching a show or something, and this man had died, said he had died, and gone to hell. And he had he was given a vision of what hell looked like and things like that. And the young man that was telling me this, he says, it brought chills all over my body. He says, it made me think and consider. And I had some time, like I say, I'm up by myself, and he come up here. We weren't interrupting. I spent a little time to talk to him. I invited him to come to church Sunday. He goes, well, I might be there. But I said, Lord, help me. And he relayed some things to me in his life and I didn't know about. And he was telling some things to me that happened in his life. And I thought, Lord, help him. God can deal with his heart and deliver him from sin. God can bring him out of that. But he's not going to do that sometimes if we don't have that easiness, that gentleness. You know, we can get hard sometimes. We can get too hard. Well, you just need to stop that. You need to stop sinning. You need to stop. God doesn't do that with me or you. He didn't do that with me. When God dealt with me on a soul one time, the first time God dealt with me, he didn't tell me all the things that I was hoping for and all the things I was dreaming in the world and going out there. He didn't tell me I was a fool. What he told me, he goes, if all those things that you're thinking of, if they come true to the fullest and you're wealthy, you're well-known, whatever, you succeed in all those things, and you miss this. Oh, that's vain. He didn't condemn it. I never felt God condemn me with those things. But when God saved me, he changed my mind. Where those things are an attraction to me. Help us, Lord. Help us as saints. Help our people to see that easy, low-hanging fruit, the easy, the peaceable, full of mercy. That God can witness those things. God can allow us to be a witness in people's lives. The people enjoy being around you. Now I know that sometimes people can say they don't want to be around us because we're, and I believe God does bring conviction on people because we are saints of God. But I believe some people ought to enjoy to be around the saints. You know why? Because of peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness. They're not worried about us hurting them or offending them. Or doing things like that. Can people enjoy being around you and I? Can people see your low-hanging fruit? Let's go back to Galatians again, chapter 5. That said, I've never thought about this too much, but now we've talked about verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And I use this, that thought of low-hanging fruit here, that these three should be very visible in people's lives from the saints. I believe that these three words should be something that people should enjoy being in our presence. Now the next six, it takes some work for us. These next six words may not be always easy. Sometimes these next six words come from God seeing if we're going to have the love, joy, and peace. You're going to have peace and joy and love towards people that are not peaceful and joyful and lovely. Amen. And learn to be long-suffering. Now, understand my thought where I'm coming from. Long-suffering is not a word that should, I believe, come really easy sometimes. It can be some work. But love, joy, and peace, they're attributes of Christ living in us and expressing that in us. Those should be things that people say, yes, that person has kindness and gentleness in the heart, love in the heart. But these other six words here, they may be just a little bit above that low-hanging fruit. People may see it, But they're not the shining gold apple that people should see as love, joy, and peace. Because if people can't see the love and the joy and the peace as that low-hanging fruit, as that thing easy to be entreated, as that thing easy to enjoy, let me tell you what, they're not going to see these other six words. You say, well, I don't really see love, joy, and peace in that person. You're not going to see the other six words either. Understand what I'm saying? And I believe this, I feel this. Long-suffering. If you don't have love, joy, and peace in your heart, you're not going to have long-suffering either. Because love, joy, and peace comes from God living within us and through us. But to have long-suffering, that takes some work. God's working with us. Maybe a little higher. Maybe a little bit up there. Patience. Now, I know I'm going to use some other words that may not be in a list tonight. But patience. That doesn't come overnight. When we get saved, I believe God instills love in us as soon as we get saved. I believe God can put His love in our heart and allow that to express in our lives almost the very next day. I believe God can give us joy, as Brother Danny mentioned about Brother Tom this morning. Joy is that same way. We come to God in the load of sin and we unload it. And what a joy it is to get rid of that load of sin. That peace that load of sin is gone. By patience. Gentleness. Takes some work sometimes. Faith. Forgiveness. Temperance. Meekness. Some fruits we may have to work on just a little bit more. Jesus, one time, they came to Jesus and they asked him a question. They said, Lord, how many times do I forgive Brother Danny? Seven times in a day? Jesus said, no, not seven times, but seven times 70. That's what, 490? In a day.
I'm not that bad.
What was that?
I'm not that bad.
And I know I can use Brother Danny because I know he's easy to deal with. And I know a lot of people may argue them numbers and fact, but I believe Jesus is trying to get us a point. It takes some work. We should have love, joy, peace easily with one another because we're saved, because we're children of God. There may be some other thing that in time, sometimes it takes some experience of living for the Lord, going through some battles, going through some trials to learn to forgive, to learn to have temperance towards one another, to learn to have gentleness, to learn to have patience. Some fruit may take a little work. Do people have to struggle to see the fruit on my tree of life? Sometimes we have nothing. Or just one piece or two pieces there. Is that a child of God? If someone were to read this verse of Scripture to someone, they saw that person's a child of God, and these are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And someone might say, I don't never see any of those things in that person's lives.
God help us.
Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And this is just a message to help each and every one of us to meditate and think on. But help us, Lord, as I talked about it in Psalm chapter 92 back there, he says that we should flourish. Amen. A bush, as I said, that bush in my neighbor's yard, that was absolutely flourishing. I did not have to move a leaf. Now I have some blackberries, and I think they've been cumbering the ground too much. I think they've maybe taken too much off the ground and didn't produce anything last year. But they grow, and I just have a little arbor, just a small little bush. But sometimes I pick the outer ones and everything, and sometimes I got to cover them so the birds don't take them. But as I pick the outer ones, then I have to dig, and I have to move. And there's one way back there, two or three way back there. I might have to get a ladder and get some of the ones in the back. A little bit more work. But I like it when I can walk up with a cup, and I go, and I can fill that cup up just with right here. I like that. I believe we as saints should be that way. Love, joy, peace. That's to be things people should witness in our lives. And God will allow these other fruits to witness in our lives if we flourish in those three, if some of those things, people will recognize that we do have long suffering. We are gentle. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, picking up in verse 1. This is Jesus speaking here. I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. I am the vine. We mentioned earlier, the Bible says, God says, I am love. Love is God's main attribute in life. We should express love towards fellow man. I am love. I am peace. I am joy. We never one time to where we see Jesus get out of control ever. The only time we see anything is when he chased the money exchangers out of the temple. He did. That's the only time. But I believe he did it and still controlling things. With all the different times it happened, working we see him with the disciples. One time the disciples, I think it was James and John, came to him. And he said, Lord, there's some people over there, some men over there. They won't work with us. You want us to rain down fire on them? And Jesus rebuked them. He goes, you don't know what spirit you're of. They didn't have the right fruit of the spirit. But Jesus says here in verse 4 and verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, flourishing fruit. Lord, do we sometimes need to go back and ask God to purge us, to water us, to put some fertilizer on us. Help us to grow, that we may grow and have much fruit in our lives, that people can see the love of God, the peace in our heart, that we may bring forth much fruit. Are we flourishing? Are we flourishing coming to the house of God? You know, one verse talks about the 5 or the 10 virgins, and 5 of them were foolish because they didn't fill their lamps with oil. I've always mentioned, always made comment about, this is a place where we get our oil filled. During revivals, during services, during camp meetings. I know we can do that at home. I know going to God and spending some time. But a time to get our oil filled, to get our lamps filled up, to get renewed in our lives and our spirit. Instead of just letting it sit on the shelf and running out of oil. Flourishing in the house of God. Ask yourself this evening, is the low-hanging fruit visible in my life? Is the low-hanging fruit visible? And I use some other words also there. Effortless to see. As I said, I could walk up to a tree and I don't have to reach hardly. I can pick. I mean, you could pick as many as you could see. You could pick. Are those low-hanging fruits, that love, that joy, that peace, are they effortless for people to see? Are they visible for people to see? And as I mentioned earlier, if they can't see the love and the joy and the peace in our heart, they won't see the other ones. They won't see the long-suffering. And you know why? Because I don't believe they're there. If you don't have any low-hanging fruit to where you're enjoying the flourishes of things of God, you're not going to have the long-suffering, the meekness, the temperance. You're not going to have it. You know why you're not going to have it? is because you don't have the Spirit of God working within you to produce the low-hanging fruits. You're definitely not going to have the Spirit of God to produce the rest.
So we'll finish out one more time in Galatians 5. Just read it one last time. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This isn't the law of the world. This is the law of God. And that's why the law of the world doesn't have these three flourishing in their lives. But as saints of God, help us to have these three flourishing. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
The last one is on page 373. Page 373.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the fruit. privilege that we have to call upon you. Lord, we're thankful that you know our bodies, and Lord, you made us human, Father. You know every detail, Lord. And we, Father, sometimes we have aches and pains. They come and they go quickly. Sometimes they stay a while, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, Brother Rick's humble himself to come before you, dear Lord, and ask the saints to pray. And go up with loyal, dear Heavenly Father. Follow your word, dear Lord. Dear Lord, through our faith and through the obedience of the word, we're asking you to do a work for him, dear Lord, to bless his heart and soul, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, that he'll give you the praise and glory. Lord, you've been good to him the last several years with the cancer and other things, dear Lord. You've helped him, dear Father, and he's given you praise for it, Lord. So, Lord, we're looking for you to touch him one more time, to heal him again, dear Lord. We're thankful that he didn't get hurt any more than he did, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, he's looking to you for a healing touch in his body. We'll certainly give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen.
Again, we thank the Lord for the day we had in Zion.
Amen.
Bless us. As I mentioned, remember the revival in April? I think I looked it up today. I think it's the 29th. It starts the 29th. The Wednesday before Palm Sunday. So I think it's the 29th through the 2nd of Palm Sunday with Brother John. Sister Sue's coming, so pray for them. God bless them.
It's March, right? March 29th.
Yes, March 29th to April 2nd. So, anything we need to mention, we dismiss. Sister, are you able to speak?
Lord, we are truly thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us today. Lord, we thank you for your presence, most of all, that you met with us and blessed us richly. Thank you that you just have encouraged our hearts and uplifted us, Father, given us just new encouragement and blessings, Lord, and we just appreciate it with all our hearts. Lord, pray that you bless each request that's been made known here, and help us, Lord, to remember to thank you for that you've done, and to continue to pray for those things that we need. We pray that you bless your approval. We pray that you watch over each and every one of us as we go to our homes, and as we can do those things that we have to do this week, and bring us back, Lord, at the appointed time, and help us, Lord, that we would keep the things that we've heard from our services, Lord, and that we would remember them and use them, apply them to our life. And we thank you for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's improving. I mean, it's not growing beyond 13 to 14. That's why 13.
That's right. It's not all totally. But it's in the process.
Yeah. He says that we're going to address it here. Right.
That's just about it. Bobby's going to tell you.
Yeah, she is.
Yes, kids, well, I'm 30, well, divine. Yeah.
I've never.
I never. I never. Not, that's.